Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast with Mike Tagliere, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. You can follow us on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how's it going today, man?
It's going good. It's going good, man. I love our DFS shows, and I love when we have on a guest because it's like, you know, like this year, it's been really odd for me. I mean, I shouldn't say it's odd because I'm usually a pretty good cash player. And this year, like my cash game lineups, I'm like 5-0-1. And I say 0-1 because like the 1 week, it just depended on what contest I was in. But I've really struggled in tournaments, so I'm happy to talk to our guest today. I'm looking forward to some tournament insight, hopefully getting better on that side of things.
Our guest is awesome at DFS too, so I'm really excited to talk to him as well. It's Jared Court of FantasyCruncher.com. Jared's on Twitter at FCJaredK. Jared, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well, except that I burned my tongue on pizza last night, so I can't taste all my favorite foods today. It's a bummer. It was like one of those situations where the pizza looks so good. Like I got three meats on it and I was like, I have to eat this now before I go into the store. Otherwise it's going to get colder. You know what I mean? So I just had to eat it.
It was a trap play is what you're saying.
Yes. So all three of us love to talk, and I've got a live stream on YouTube right after this. So we better get right into the DFS talk today. By the way, Tags and I we do three of these live streams every week at youtube.com/fantasypros, so you can find us there. And before we get into it, I wanted to remind you all, we've got a signed Davante Adams helmet to give away to one of our listeners, thanks to pristineauction.com. And you can quickly enter your name into that drawing by going to fantasypros.com/contest. And if you haven't already checked out Pristine Auction, they've got hundreds of items they auction away every day, guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. And there's some killer deals every day too, guys. I saw a signed Roger Craig 49ers jersey go for under $40 yesterday. Signed Andre Reed Bills helmet went for just $47. So make sure to check out Pristine Auction. See the deals they have for you that you can fill your man cave with. Again, that's Pristine Auction, PRISTINE. All right, guys, so here's how we do it, Jared, on this show, is we're just going to go position by position. We'll start at quarterback all the way on down to DST. We'll talk about a few of our favorite cash game plays, just kind of going one person at a time. Tags will share one guy, you share one guy, I'll share one. Anyone we don't cover, we'll try to get to. Then we'll circle back around and go GPP. Now, there's only going to be about 15 minutes of GPP, so we'll go a lot faster at that point. But let's start at the quarterback position. Jared, is there a play that stands out to you on FanDuel and or DraftKings?
Yeah, I mean, from a cash game perspective, I think it's going to be hard to get away from Kirk Cousins this week. I'm, you know, on the main slate. I'm a big fan. If we look at how the Jets defense has fared against the QB position the last few weeks, it's been really bad. They've given up over 320 yards passing and two touchdowns, to the position. And, you know, he's not going to break the bank. He is on the more expensive side, but amongst the players that are at that position this week, I have a high degree of confidence in him, especially given his recent volume, you know, ranking top five in the league and one of the top ones as well, obviously on the slate. So I'm very comfortable playing him and would really recommend looking to him, especially with a certain receiver that I'm sure we're going to talk plenty about on this podcast to help stack.
You're reading my mind. I'm sure you're reading anyone's mind who knows anything about DFS this week, because Adam Thielen's going to be probably over 50% owned in cash games. Now, Tags, I love Cousins, too. He's not my top play. Is he your top play?
So, yeah, Kirk Cousins is my favorite play this week at quarterback, and I thought I was going to be the only one to say that, so I'm happy to hear Jared on the same page as me. Not only was it a good matchup to begin with, but Buster Skrine, their slot cornerback, is out, and it seems like Trumaine Johnson is going to miss another week. So, knowing that the Minnesota Vikings do not have a run game right now, and yes, I know that Dalvin Cook returned to practice, I don't care about that necessarily. Their offensive line isn't going to be able to hold up against the Jets very well. I love Cousins as well, and it's a week where there's a lot of value at like wide receiver. After Thielen, obviously, you can pay down for your next two wide receivers like under 5K. So it's a week where you could afford the extra couple hundred bucks to get up to Cousins. So yeah, he's my top cash game play this week.
Guys, I feel a little bit safer with Cam Newton. And the reason why, I mean, we've seen Kirk Cousins have a few rough games. He did it against Buffalo. He did it against Philadelphia, where he only put up one touchdown. Cam Newton, because of his legs, I mean, he's guaranteed 16-plus points every single week. Yeah, we need probably 20 to hit value on FanDuel. On DraftKings, we don't need anywhere near as much, but he's cheaper than Cousins. I think that his matchup is fine against Philadelphia. Carolina's favorite at home against Philadelphia. The over-under on that game is 45, and Minnesota, New York, it's 46.5. So I don't mind saving $500 and going down and getting Cam Newton.
So here's my concern. Jared, tell me if you feel the same way. So Philadelphia at home has been a different defense. So looking at it last year, they were like one of the best defenses in the league. Opponents averaged just 12 points per game at Philadelphia. And this year, they've played three games there. Okay, it was Matt Ryan, 251 yards, no touchdowns. Next, Andrew Luck, 164 yards, one touchdown. Next, it was Kirk Cousins, 301 yards and one touchdown. That's an issue. Now, I do think the rushing totals are going to be there. I mean, Mariota
If you add 45 rushing yards to that, it looks fine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's the thing is, like, I don't think he's a bad play, but it's like when I'm playing a cash game quarterback, it's like you want the floor, but you also want maybe a higher ceiling if you miss on one of the other players. So it's like the only difference is $500 between him and Cousins, and I don't think I need that extra $500 this week.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really strong argument there, Tags, and I prefer Newton in GPPs, frankly, if I am going to pay up at the position, because I think for some of the reasons you mentioned, he might actually have a little bit less ownership than some of the other guys, especially because I think folks are going to pay down in GPPs to stack some of the value QBs. So I would resonate with what you said resonates with me.
Jared, is there anyone else you're considering for cash games this week? I mean, is it just Kirk Cousins? Is Cam Newton your number two, or do you like someone like Jared Goff, maybe CJ Beathard?
Yeah, I don't really love the idea of paying down too much in cash games this week. I kind of go back and forth, and I've talked about it various ways through some of our columns over at Fantasy Cruncher. I do like Goff. I think he's a fairly safe play. I do also think that you could get away with a naked Tom Brady. And I say that because I feel like they're going to continue to do the majority of their damage through the air. It's a really good matchup on paper from a secondary perspective for Tom. And I hate stacking the Patriots because you just never know. I don't like playing Patriots roulette too much.
Yeah, they've got like six good options.
They do. And you could really go a number of different ways, which if you hit, I mean, you're laughing. But, they have one of the higher team totals on the slate at 26 points. I never think it's a bad thing to sort of follow the chalk in that sense and play a guy, even if he is a little bit obviously more on the expensive side, but I do think they're going to throw the ball plenty, and he's going to leave with a really nice day at the end of it all.
Yeah, their implied score is 27 points, and you wouldn't guess that against the Bears. Tags, what do you think about this play? You're a Bears fan. You probably think Tom Brady's a good play too, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he gets a big upgrade if Khalil Mack sits this game out, and it's apparently a possibility that does happen. And if Mack is out, the defense obviously doesn't look as good. And, Jared hit the nail on the head that they're not going to be able to run the ball very well against the Bears. I know Sony Michel has done fine, but they've played some of the weaker run defenses over the last couple weeks, so I'm not going to automatically say that Sony Michel is a great play. I have him more in like the RB2 range this week where I'm not like confident about him. So I don't think Brady's a bad play. I wouldn't play him in cash, but I think that Brady is actually a pretty solid tournament play this week.
I think so as well. There's a couple other guys that I'm fond of. Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield. I would consider them for cash, but really for me, it's Kirk Cousins or Cam Newton. I've got Cam as my choice. And Tags, you made some good points, but it wasn't enough to quite talk me away from him. Jared, is there anyone you want to add before moving over to running back?
No, I think we've covered that position quite well. And just to kind of piggyback on what Tags was saying, New England going up against Chicago, the number one DVOA ranked defense in the league this year. So just kind of proves that point a little bit further.
All right, on over to running back. And once again, I feel like we say this every week, but for good reason, right? Todd Gurley, even sitting at $10,000 and $10,200 on FanDuel on DraftKings, his price point is, I'm not even sure where it is this week.
He's $9,800.
We've got him at over 55% ownership, probably 70% ownership in cash games, maybe even up to 80, because he is far and away our highest predicted scorer this week. We take consensus projections from several sources, and we've got him at 25.6 FanDuel points. The next closest at the running back position is under 20. So guys, this is a lock, right?
Yeah, I don't see how you get away from it. There's so much value, like Tags mentioned, on the slate. There are even other value plays at running back, which I'm sure we'll cover shortly. When you're playing cash in particular, you got to take, in a high variance sport, what seems to be a bit of a lock. And so I don't want to overthink this. I don't think any of our listeners should overthink it. You can easily find room to play Todd Gurley this week and just move on to figure out the rest of your lineup.
Yeah, you get to the point where you're just like looking at running back position. You're like, why don't we just pay for the studs that we know are going to produce and then just kind of figure everything else out, like Joe said on the show last week. So, Gurley is very impossible to avoid right now. And I think Ezekiel Elliott, I think you could put both of them into your lineups.
I think you have to. I can't put together a cash game lineup without Gurley and Zeke and feel good about it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like Ezekiel Elliott, you could argue that he's a strong play as well. I mean, he's played the Redskins 3 times in his career and has posted against them 87 total yards and a touchdown, 120 total yards and 2 touchdowns, and then most recently 154 yards and 2 touchdowns. So we're talking about an average of 120 total yards and 1.7 touchdowns per game against them. Now, Washington does have a healthy front 7 right now, but at the same time, Ezekiel Elliott is kind of game script proof because he's on pace for 80 targets this season. So knowing he's getting so much work in the passing game, it's tough not to like Zeke. So again, with so much value, it's just like pay for the studs this week and figure everything else out.
And there's usually a value running back or two that I love. This week, I mean, we'll talk about some of these guys. Marlon Mack's not a bad play. There's several others that are not bad plays. But Gurley and Zeke, in terms of projected value, are so far and away above the rest of the field that I think you have to do these guys and then figure the rest out later, because wide receiver, you've got plenty of wide receiver threes who are pretty much a lock to get some targets. And so I think we can find value at wide receiver, tight end, defense, and then just pay up for these two running backs. Jared, are you doing the same thing with Elliott?
Yeah, in cash games, I absolutely love the strategy, and I have no problem doing the same as mentioned. What I was saying from a running back value perspective was really more from a GPP lens. So Okay. Basically just supporting that sentiment. And look, I mean, those two guys are really as good as it gets. You can make the argument. You can always make the argument in DFS analysis for some of the other players, but I just have a hard time getting behind it myself.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Now, Christian McCaffrey sitting there, he's cheaper than Zeke. I think he's a good play as well. But, you know, as good of a play as he is, I can't see myself fading either Gurley or Zeke. I would never consider fading Gurley this week. If I had to fade Zeke, I think it would be so that I could spend up at wide receiver, not to go down and get, you know, Christian McCaffrey and say $400. Tags, would you consider Christian McCaffrey at all, or any of these other more expensive guys, Sony Michel, Alvin Kamara?
Well, what's funny is I actually looked at McCaffrey as a potential option. I don't think he's a bad option on DraftKings, because you look at the Eagles, and over the last 2 weeks, they've allowed two running backs to total 9 receptions against them. But the issue is that they do have Greg Olsen back. They're involving DJ Moore a lot more in the offense. They have Curtis Samuel back. Like, all of a sudden there's a bevy of options, and we've seen Christian McCaffrey's, you know, his volume come down a little bit. So why not, if you're looking for someone like McCaffrey, why not go down to Tariq Cohen at 5,100? Like, he's a similar play. He's probably going to see similar volume in the passing game, maybe even more. He's been getting more carries. He's been playing more snaps every single week. The matchup calls for it against New England. New England last 2 weeks has been beat up by pass-catching running backs. So I like Tariq Cohen. And if, like, you don't want to pay up for Gurley or Elliott and you're like, I really want to jam a couple big-name wide receivers in my lineup, I think Tariq Cohen at 5,100 is a phenomenal play.
I think he's a good play. I want to use him in cash games. If I was going cheap in cash games, I'd go with Carlos Hyde or even Kerryon Johnson. 4,700 on DraftKings for Hyde, 4,500 for Kerryon Johnson. They get the Bucs in Miami. Miami's run defense is not bad. Neither is Tampa's. But just in terms of pure touches for those salaries, I think they're pretty good value plays.
Well, Carlos Hyde's not a great play, though. That's the thing, is like Tampa, everybody ties Tampa to just like a terrible defense. And they are, like, don't get me wrong, but it's their secondary that's really bad, because like where they have a lot of the majority of the fantasy points is through the air. Like every running back who scored more than 15 PPR points against them has caught at least five passes for 55 yards. Carlos Hyde is not that guy. Like
you give me 18 touches for $4,700, I'll take it even if they're playing like the Minnesota Vikings at home.
Well, that's the thing. So like here, so the Tampa Bay defense has not allowed a running back more than 61 yards on the ground this year. Okay. Like that's that most people
that's
don't
good.
Believe
that's
that.
That's really good.
But, right. And so if we're talking about Carlos Hyde, it's like, okay, then we could project him for like, let's say 50 to 60 yards. And then even if he scores a touchdown, we're talking about what, maybe like 12 PPR points. Is he really worth the risk you're taking? I would rather like, if you really want someone cheap, and I'm curious to hear Jared's take on this, I would rather go down to Peyton Barber, who's 3,800. Cleveland is going to be without one of their starting linebackers, Joe Schobert. So, I mean, if you really want to go down, I would go there. But I think Tariq Cohen is a much better play than Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, I was laughing because you took the two guys that I was going to talk about from a GPP perspective completely out of off my list. Tariq Cohen being number one, Peyton Barber being number two at 4,800. So at 3,800, excuse me. I completely agree, and I can't really add a lot more than what you already covered. I mean, that's just so cheap and a really plus situation for the number of touches that and the percentage of snaps he's playing. Like Peyton Barber is just stupid value under 4,000.
This is just not a good week for cash outside of those top two guys. Like I keep trying to get cute and find one of these cheaper guys so I can squeeze in, you know, I'm going to have Adam Thielen regardless, but another quality wide receiver. And I just can't do it. Like Adrian Peterson, yeah, he's probably going to get touches. Is he going to be good, though? He's been good 2 out of 5 weeks. You know, Corey Clement, Marlon Mack, Carlos Hyde, Kerryon Johnson, there's holes in all of these guys. Tariq Cohen, there's holes. Peyton Barber, there's holes. They're all decent plays, but if we're looking for something safe for cash games, it's Gurley, it's Elliott, and there is nobody else. So please do not try to get cute. It's not going to work.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we'll get into more of the tournament plays once we get further into it. But I think we covered a lot of the cash game options this week, though.
All right. So wide receiver, Jared, at the end of the show, we all give our locks of the week. And I guess I'm hinting towards who mine's going to be here. Adam Thielen. I'll just go right to it. It's Adam Thielen, and it's really not even close. You have to play Adam Thielen. If it's between Thielen and Gurley, it's Thielen. Do you agree?
Yeah, but I don't even think you need to choose this week.
Yeah, you have to have both.
Honestly, like, but so not only do you have to, but you can, right? That's the thing. Like, I know that this is what Tags, I think, was trying to get to earlier on. Like, you can start with even a guy like Cousins. You can pencil in Gurley. You could pencil in Thielen. And then you can run, you know, a number of different combinations. You're going to end up with a lineup that you don't hate. Like, you really will. And that's really going to, I think, at the end of the day, be sort of where I net out from a cash game perspective. Now, is it going to be easy to play a Cousins, a Gurley, a Zeke, and a Thielen? No, that's when things are going to get a lot dicier. You're going to have to find a comfortable level to pay down, whether it's at your tight end and your defense and your quarterback or something in between there. But my lock of the week also with Thielen, just simply because the discrepancy between next best is just so big that you just can't really even make a valid argument outside from just kind of being contrarian for the sake of being contrarian. But I mean, the guy's targets, his volume, his catch rate, the whole situation there for Minnesota, he is basically the equivalent of Gurley for me on the slate at the position. Like he's basically matchup proof, especially given the volume. It's just hard to get away from him. And so I would just kind of bolt everything on that I just said to your point.
Tags, why don't you talk about his matchup too? Because that's what makes him the best, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like he arguably has the best matchup of the year. I mean, last week it was Buda Baker, so you could argue that that was just as bad as or just as good as a matchup, and he obviously scored 32 points. But this week I have him as my number one wide receiver, so the price of 8,600 doesn't seem bad to me at all. And Buster Skrine, as I mentioned at the start of the show, he is out. He's their starting slot cornerback, who's not good to begin with, so you know that his backup, Perry Nickerson, is not very good either. Nickerson has been terrible in coverage, and it's a weird week for me, so I think that you could potentially, if you wanted to, play Thielen and Diggs in cash. I think both of them can have production against this defense because Morris Claiborne has played okay, but he also can get beat deep very often, and he's very easy to beat with a good route runner, and Stephon Diggs is obviously that. Trumaine Johnson is probably out this week, and even if he did come back, he plays sides, so they could avoid him if they wanted to. There's nothing that you should not like about Thielen this week at 8,600, and there's really no other wide receiver that I feel the need to pay up for this week, especially in cash.
I want to call timeout really quick and go back to running back because there's two guys I meant to bring up. And I'm sorry for doing this and being disorganized, but I also want to get your analysis, Jared, and Tags, on LeSean McCoy, who's been playing a lot better football. And then if TJ Yeldon is out, Jamaal Charles at 5,100 on FanDuel, super cheap on DraftKings as well. Do you guys think either of them should be considered as a cash game play? Jared, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I don't think I can make the argument for McCoy in cash. I mean, I would definitely prefer him in GPPs. I mean, if you are absolutely desperate and let's say you don't want to play a Sony Michel and you want someone in his territory that has been getting the volume and the touches, I think you can, you know, make an outside argument for it. I just have no faith, and you know, Bobby, I'm a Bills fan. I have no faith in this offense. So to, you know, have upside of a touchdown is almost a fallacy. So it's really hard to, you know, make that kind of argument. I guess maybe that does make him a better cash game play, you know, to your point. But yeah, I can't get behind that. But I mean, if you're looking at a $3,000 Jamaal Charles on DraftKings, who's likely to get 80 to 90% of snaps and all the volume behind the line, like that's hard to argue against. Yeah. So he's a guy to keep on the radar in case Yeldon does not suit up on Sunday. But I have a feeling that we'll probably see him back out there.
Yeah, no, I think Yeldon's going to play as well. But as for McCoy, it's like if McCoy was down in like the $4,000 range, I might consider him. But the fact that he's 5,600, he's way too expensive. Like way, way too pricey.
He's a lot more expensive on DraftKings than he's on FanDuel. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and FanDuel is more touchdown dependent too. So like Jared said, it's like touchdowns are going to be hard to come by for that offense. So I think the Bills are in general just going to have lesser plays this week because the Colts now have a running back that they can hand the ball to a little bit more often. I think it's a week where they take the pressure off Lock and they just run the ball a bit more.
All right, so back on over to wide receiver and some of the top plays not looking so good. Michael Thomas against Baltimore, DeAndre Hopkins against Jacksonville. You don't play them. Mike Evans, he's not going to get Denzel Ward, but this Cleveland secondary has been a lot better. So is there anybody else, Taz, you mentioned Stephon Diggs, is there anybody else, Jared, that you would pay up for? Or is it just got to go down and get some value now so we can have Gurley, Elliott, and Adam Thielen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to in cash. I mean, if you decide, let's say, to not play both Gurley and Zeke, or maybe even if you decide, you know, I'm going to be a smart ass and not play Thielen for whatever reason, and I don't endorse that, to be clear. Two other guys that I do think have the roles that I like to invest in are Robert Woods and Alshon Jeffrey. Woods is just consistently putting up points. I mean, he's got either 90 plus yards in four straight games. He's even, you know, carrying the ball a few times too. They're running, you know, some unique plays for him. The guy's scoring a ton of points, and he's got a very safe role in that offense, especially with Cooper Kupp on the shelf. So this week I have no problem paying a little bit up to him, especially because I want some shares of that LA offense in cash games. Jeffrey is an interesting play. I mean, we didn't really talk about Carson Wentz yet. I actually think he's really intriguing for GPPs, but he's had 9, 8, and 12 targets in his three games through weeks 4, 5, and 6 this year. And we know he went double dong last time. So for 23.4 DK, FanDuel points. Those roles are hard to not get behind. And if you, let's say, need someone in their price points, I'm happy with them both for GPP and cash game purposes.
Tags, who do you like in the mid-range? I'm a big fan of Jarvis Landry this week against Tampa. I think he's almost right there as a must start. Like, I usually don't give two or even three must starts, but I've got four this week. Gurley, Elliott, Thielen, and Landry. I think Landry has to be in your lineup.
So Landry, I don't think that Landry, like, I think he's a good play for sure, but he's just too expensive. Like, on the main slate, we only have 10 games this week, and Jarvis Landry is the number three receiver in price. I can't
what?
Pay that.
He's that expensive on DraftKings?
He's 7,300. Like, he's the third most expensive wide receiver.
He's number 18 or the fourth. On FanDuel.
He's the fourth most expensive. I'm sorry. I have Thielen in this lineup, so that's why he was missing from that picture. But yeah, 7,300, that's just too much for a guy that hasn't really looked very good. I mean, that's the thing, is like he should get the targets, and he has a great matchup with MJ Stewart in the slot this week. So I do like his matchup, and I do want to play him. He's just too expensive for me this week.
On FanDuel, he's a great value. So, but yeah, on DraftKings, I would not touch him at that price.
Yeah, it's too expensive. It's too expensive. But I did look at him from a FanDuel perspective, and I think he's actually a very intriguing value, especially because he's getting way more looks in the red zone than I think people realize, right? Unless you dive into it. You wouldn't really see that. And he would be number two on the slate in targets per day, to date. And he has just as many red zone targets as Adam Thielen does, ranking only behind Michael Thomas, Hopkins, Kupp, who's probably not, you know, not really relevant, and Thielen. So, he's right up there, and it's just a matter of time before, I think before everything converts, but to the points that have already been made, he's really only relevant on FanDuel.
So Jared, who do you like in that mid-price territory?
So we talked about, we just talked about Landry, who was on my list for FanDuel. If we look over to DraftKings, I like the Baltimore offense. We're going to talk a little bit more about them. I think that they have the potential to be overlooked a little bit this week. So Crabtree and John Brown in particular in the middle tier. Although my favorite play on that offense would be Willie Snead. And I also don't mind looking at a guy like Kenny Golladay. I know he's coming off a bye, but I was really, you know, intrigued by what he had been doing before going off last week. But at $6,000, a guy that scored at least 17, DraftKings points in four of his last five, he's making the most of his opportunities. He's converting a high percent of his catches and of his targets, and Stafford's looking to him quite a bit. So I like that. And he's the kind of guy that every single time I watch a Detroit game, he seems to me to look like the best wide receiver on that offense. And, you know, and I'm a big Golden Tate fan, as well, but he just seems to look like a different player this year. And so, optics are sometimes really important, and considering that game, I think is likely going to be a little bit overlooked for exposure, that could make Golladay an interesting GPP target.
I agree, Jared. I think Kenny Golladay is going to be a star, and I think he already would be if he wasn't in the same receiver core with Marvin Jones Jr. and Golden Tate. Now, Tags, I didn't even consider Kenny Golladay because of the threat of Xavien Howard being there. Are they going to shadow with him?
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I don't know what they do. And it's like, it's tough to say that they're not going to shadow the big name in Marvin Jones. I don't know how they're going to handle this, but I would assume that they might put Xavien Howard on him, which is enough to make me avoid him in cash. And I'm in the same spot with John Brown and Michael Crabtree. I think one of them is going to be a fantastic play. I just can't tell you which one. Because, like, the Saints, Marshawn Lattimore, it makes sense that they put him on Crabtree. He's the bigger receiver, more physical. But at the same time, Lattimore does have the speed to hang with John Brown. And what are you going to do, put Ken Crawley on John Brown? Like, that's just going to be a nightmare for them. So I'm really curious to see how the Saints handle that. Like, that's going to be an issue for them all game. But I'm not sure which one. That's the problem. That's why I think that you should take your shot on those guys in tournaments. But in cash, I mean, I think Josh Gordon's a fair play around 5,600.
I thought about him too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears cornerbacks are the weakness of that team.
I'd rather go on the opposite end of that game though and go Allen Robinson against the Patriots.
I don't know. I mean, Stephon Gilmore is a tougher matchup, and he's also more expensive, where it's like Josh Gordon is going to see Prince Amukamara the majority of time. Amukamara missed some time with a hamstring injury. He's still limited in practice. So, I mean, Amukamara just doesn't have the skill set to hang with Josh Gordon. And we saw Gordon get, 9 targets last week. And in a game where they're not going to be able to run the ball very much, we could see a bomb to Josh Gordon. And that $5,600 price tag will pay off in one play.
I just don't know if it's safe enough for cash. Jared, what do you think about these two guys, Josh Gordon, Allen Robinson, and speak on Michael Crabtree too?
For me, any Patriots receiver is a GPP target. I think you got to love the role that Gordon has as it continues to emerge. And I love that Brady was looking at him really often early last week and then kind of got away from him. I was actually going to ask you a question there, Tags. You know, Lattimore looked to be a little bit banged up, but I guess he did get a full practice in yesterday, right? So I was kind of, because I was sort of hearing some things about how he might be a little bit questionable or maybe at least not at 100%, which something that got me a little bit more excited for, you know, the entire Baltimore offense to your point. But I agree with everything else you said in that. I think it's one of the two of them plus Willie Steen that makes for an interesting kind of target in DraftKings, but I digress. Hogan is someone in GPPs. I know we'll talk a little bit more about that soon. I can't remember who's the other person that you mentioned.
Yeah, Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I have a hard time with him again in cash games, but tournaments, if especially in a game stack with this one, I think that's very intriguing.
So in cash games, I'm going down and getting Antonio Callaway. I know he has not been effective, but against Tampa, Mayfield is someone I considered using in cash games as well. If you need to save some money, I think you can go down and do that. And Antonio Callaway is really cheap. He's $4,800 on FanDuel. He's top 15 in targets since they traded Josh Gordon. I think he gets another 9 or 10 targets this game against Tampa. And against Tampa, he's probably going to do some work.
I think FanDuel, it's fine. I would not touch him on DraftKings. There's just way too many better plays there for the price.
Okay. So who are some of those cheap plays that you guys like on DraftKings?
There's some really good ones. Like he already mentioned Willie Snead. Like that's a must play in cash at 4,000 against the Saints. The Saints lost Patrick Robinson to the injured reserve. He was the slot cornerback they brought in from Philly to fill that role because they had trouble with that role last year with Kenny Vaccaro coming down from safety covering the slot. So now they have PJ Williams there. PJ Williams is terrible. And Willie Snead, by the way, there's only been one game this year where he scored fewer than 10.4 PPR points. So his floor has been good in even non-good matchups. Like he's been underrated like by the fantasy community and is he's a solid wide receiver four in PPR formats. So getting him at $4,000 is kind of like a gift. I also think that Kiki QT at 4,300 is someone that I'm looking at. If you want to stack those two running backs, you're going to have to find some value.
I don't think so, man. Are you serious? You're using him in cash games against Jacksonville?
Jacksonville's slot has been awful, like legit awful, like terrible, like not good at all. We saw Cole Beasley last week tag him for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like AJ Boye and Jalen Ramsey are going to be busy with DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. So I mean, 4,300 QT is not a bad play at all.
Jared, what do you think about QT? Anyone else you want to mention at wide receiver?
I don't think I have the balls to play QT, but that narrative you just mentioned there, tags is really interesting. One other play, I'm going to give you two. Two that I think are interesting at the wide receiver spot for, let's say, on DraftKings under 4,500 would be Danny Amendola. Don't mind him if you want to fade or prefer him to Willie Snead for whatever reason or want a share of the Miami offense. 11 targets last week. I do think that with Osweiler back there, they could have something a little bit more special than with Tannehill. So there could be something interesting there. And then the other one, kind of next guy up, would be Jermaine Kearse. I really don't mind him at 4,100. I do think that again, investing in recently kind of injured offenses where guys that are known commodities as next guy up, like Kearse is. Nothing special, but he caught 9 for 94 on 10 targets in what was obviously a bit of a shootout in week 6. It's still good value, and with Anunua out, I do think that he could still easily get, you know, another 7 or 8 catches on the high side, but conservatively 5 or 6, which you're probably going to approach 10 points in a PPR format like DK and be pretty happy with that.
I was going to say Kearse as well. I've actually got him in my lineup as my flex guy right now. Okay, let's move on over to the tight end position. Tags, you know I'm all about David Njoku this week. I've got him as my number one tight end, regardless of salary. I think he's going to absolutely eat against the Bucs.
I love Njoku, man, but saying he's number one, that takes some cojones, young man.
Yeah, I'm. You talk to me after this week. He's got 22 like targets Njoku in the last 2 weeks, man, and he's going up against the Bucs, who are the worst against tight ends.
Oh, you're not going to talk me out of Njoku. He's going to be in my cash game lineup for sure, but I think there's a whole bunch of good tight end plays this week. I like Ertz. I like Gronk. I like Kittle. I like Reed. I like Burton. OJ Howard is 3,600. There are so many plays at tight end. Like, I just ran through, 7 guys? And, like, these are all guys in plus matchups that are going to receive 5-plus targets.
Are you going to flex the tight end?
It's possible, man. Like, it's very possible. Knowing that, you know, OJ Howard 3,600 versus Cleveland.
You know, speaking of flexing the tight ends, the guy who wrote in, he listened to our show last week and heard me talk about the World Fantasy Football Championship on FanDuel. And so we entered the contest. He used dual tight ends. So he put a tight end in the flex. I don't remember who it was. Maybe Njoku. And he ended up winning big time. So he's going to that live final. And guys, FanDuel, they do have the World Fantasy Football Championship, but they also have something called the Fan Championship. So I like to enter these satellites to get in there. You spend like $2 and you can get 25 tickets. So you spend $50 to get 25 tickets. And all you have to do is you have to beat out, like, I don't know, 500 people. So the satellite is a lot smaller. You have a much better chance of doing it. And if you get 25 entries, you've got a decent shot of having the top entry. So if you win, you get a $250 ticket, which a lot of people just wouldn't typically spend on. When you have got that ticket and you can win some serious money and actually have a good chance, not a good chance, but a decent chance at winning that big money, makes football so much more fun, guys. So check out what FanDuel has with their satellite contest and the Fan Championship. Jared, have you ever been to one of these live finals, man?
I went, but to support a member of our FC team, not personally. I don't typically play a lot of the qualifiers, so I'm not I'm not there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all about the qualifiers. It's so much fun, dude. All right. So, Jared, who do you like at tight end?
Yeah, from a tight end perspective on FanDuel, cash game, Zach Ertz every day. I love him there. I mean, he's really on another level on this slate in my mind, especially with some of the options that are not available. There's a ton of value, though, and I know you guys just sort of rhymed off a ton of them. I love both Trey Burton and Njoku. I think that they're fantastic options this week from a GPP perspective, or if you need to pay down on FanDuel, I'm completely fine with them as well. Burton for exposure to that game, which I do think is going to benefit the passing game from a game script perspective for Chicago. So I think that you can easily look there. And then Njoku, I mean, 23 targets in his last two games, or 30 if you kind of go back to his last three. That kind of volume is hard to come by from a guy that, from the tight end position to begin with at all. And clearly Baker Mayfield is looking to him, trusts him. And frankly, the talent has always been there. It's just about, you know, giving the Browns a quarterback. And so with someone that can actually throw the ball, the narrative is absolutely friendly, to Njoku. So I'm not going to kind of go out there and name anyone off the board because I don't think you have to. This week, and I'm glad that you mentioned the dual tight end. I would really only look at that for tournaments. I've always felt it's a really attractive and intriguing way to go after GPPs because not very many people do it, first of all. And second of all, you just have a lot of touchdown upside if you go with guys that have solid red zone roles. And for whatever reason, that goes
overlooked. They're so cheap on DraftKings.
Exactly. And the upside for, you know, a high ROI finish because of that is just, so much more beneficial than if you were to, let's say, you know, go with a receiver like, you know, put in Callaway, for example, who is very, you know, low probability to score versus a guy like Njoku, virtually the same price. And there's way higher, touchdown probability. So, yeah. Anyways, I'm glad you mentioned it because I think it's something that gets overlooked unnecessarily. And when you're looking for upside, you gotta be creative and it doesn't necessarily need to be a low own play outright. Just, you know, putting two guys together that will not be paired often is sometimes enough to be contrarian, enough to be different.
Guys, at defense, there's a lot of quality plays. And so for our projected ownership, we don't have anyone above 20% this week. You've got Buffalo against Indianapolis. You've got Indianapolis against Buffalo. I like Detroit against Miami. Jared, is there one play that stands out above the rest of you, or is it just whoever you have money for?
Yeah, I'm not making any of them a clear priority on the high side. I also think that you could get away with punting it completely on DraftKings for 2,100 and going with the Jets.
Good call.
Yeah, sometimes we look for narratives, all, you know, to really make a really compelling argument. But if we look at the way this could unfold, you know, Cousins hasn't been completely turnover absent, right? Like the guy does turn over the ball every once in a while. The Jets are at home. The opponent total is about 25 points right now for Minnesota. Obviously, not the only thing you want to look at there, but they've been getting turnovers at a really nice clip. And if you're going to punt something to really help to pay up for positions like Gurley, Thielen, Zeke, like we talked about, doing so and paying virtually nothing for your defense and special team can really give you a lot of upside.
I think the Jets are an intriguing call as well. There's just so many of them. Like I could literally name 8 or 9 teams that I think are quality plays and really no better than any of the other 9.
I think Detroit's actually an intriguing group, especially if you look at the quarterback throwing for Miami this week.
Exactly. That's why I'm using Detroit for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I must have missed it when you mentioned it, but you know, look at that. There's sack probability coming off some rest and against a really poor quarterback, $2,400 on DK, you know, nothing wrong with that at all.
Yep. 17 sacks in 5 weeks coming off the bye, like you mentioned. I think they're a great play.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to give a defensive play at like every price point for people. Like, so if you're listening and you're like, I have this much left, who would I use? And I think if you're paying up, I think Jacksonville's worth it. Minnesota's a good play. But if you want to go down to mid-range, I think Houston against Blake Bortles, obviously that's not a bad play. He's down to his third string left tackle. It seems like Andrew Norwell might be out for this game. So you could be missing two.
They might be running Jamal Charles out there.
Yeah, that's the thing. So they're not a bad play. But me and Cash, I'm probably going to go with the Browns at 2,400. I mean, like, when you're looking at this, you're looking at, like, a high floor play, right? And so the Bucs offensive line has allowed 11 sacks over their last four games. And when you think about Myles Garrett and Larry Ogunjobi going up against that offensive line who have two less than mediocre offensive tackles, I happen to like the Browns defense. And we know,
and it's not like Jameis Winston's not going to turn the ball over. Like, he's probably going to put up 30 points, but he's also going to turn the ball
right
over.
He makes some dumb decisions at times, and that could lead to a pick six. I think at 2,400, I think they're a fine play, and it allows you to do some crazy things with your lineup.
That's a really good call. Man, it's really tough for me now between Detroit and Cleveland.
You don't think anybody will play him?
No, so I think you're looking at a really good potential for low ownership there. I have a hard time paying for a team that's let up 400 or plus yards in three straight games. But I do understand the narrative. And Winston is a high turnover guy, or has been, right, throughout his career. So it's you want to target high turnover potential guys in with your defense on the other side. So I'm supportive of the narrative. I can't do it myself.
Okay, so Jared, let's flip it around and we'll go GPP now. And we're going to go a lot faster here. So for defense, just name one or two players, one or two teams, and we don't really need to give that much analysis. Just guys who are on your radar.
Yeah, I mentioned before, the Jets, Bills, and I think are really interesting. The other one I'd give you would be Washington.
Washington, interesting. Can you expand on that one a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit more for FanDuel. I like the value that you get there with them at 3,500. They're a lot more expensive, relatively speaking, on DK. So for a team that is going to be playing in a fairly slow-paced game, and a team that also has at least five fantasy points and multiple sacks in three of the last four with turnovers in each game, like that's kind of hard to beat. So really just from those perspectives, I think that they're great on FanDuel, not on DK.
I love New Orleans for GPP because they're going up against Baltimore. New Orleans really has one of the five or six most talented defenses, and we've seen it a little bit the last 2 weeks. So I think they're a kind of sneaky play. Tags, what do you think about the Saints? Or do you have another one that you like?
Yeah, the Saints aren't a bad play. Joe Flacco is going to be missing one of his starting offensive linemen. Alex Lewis went down last week. The Saints, as you mentioned, after their first couple games, they've looked a lot better. This game should be a lower scoring one. I just don't know how many opportunities the Saints will have for sacks, because I don't think Flacco is going to drop back like a whole bunch. I don't think they want to go toe for toe with Drew Brees in that offense. So that'll be an interesting one. I think that the Bears, if Khalil Mack plays, I think they're an interesting GPP play. They are going to be at home. They're a defense that has been like lights out when they played well. They had a down week against Miami, but I think everyone is entitled to that from time to time. And Brady, if he's going to throw the ball up, you know, like kind of just give Gordon those jump balls, it's always possible for a pick. But their offensive line is not great in New England. That's like the downfall of that team. And I think it's something that a good pass rush can get to. And the Bears obviously have that with Khalil Mack. So if they play, I think they would be a great play at low ownership, and they're very cheap. So, I mean, nobody's going to play the Bears defense.
Yeah, I was actually going to just say, I think that's actually a really smart game theory play with how much value you're getting from them this week, right? Simply because of the opponent and the way that the sites have priced them down. So I think that's really interesting.
Guys, at tight end, I usually have like three or four names that I like to share because there's always somebody who has a great matchup, right? But this week, I mean, Ricky Seals-Jones isn't on the main slate. That's who I would say. I just want to play the guys we've already talked about. Is there someone that stands out for you, Jaren?
No, I think this is a classic case of if we try to find something outside of the people that we've already mentioned, we're trying too hard unnecessarily. I think that the O.J. Howards, Trey Burtons, Njoku's, and a guy I mentioned that you guys didn't, but he is very expensive on DK, so you know it's easy to fade Zach Ertz there this week. He's just so reliable and hard to get away from, particularly on FanDuel, where I find their pricing at the position is a little bit weird this week, particularly compared to the way that DK's done it. So I would just want to make sure that we don't lose sight of him.
Same kind of thing. I would use Uzama, but he's playing Sunday night, so he's not on the main slate. So yeah, I'm with you, Jared. It is OJ Howard and Njoku, Zach Ertz. Tags, is it the same for you as me and Jared?
Why have we not talked about Rob Gronkowski? Rob Gronkowski is $6,000 on DraftKings. That's like the lowest price you'll ever see him. And he's going against the Bears, who have allowed four of the last five tight ends they've played to finish as top 12 options against them. They've allowed a touchdown in every one of those games. Gronk has not. So you'd have to go back to 2011 to find the last time that Gronk went four games without a touchdown. We're now at five straight games. Like, there's an eruption coming here at some point. and knowing that the Bears are going to stop the run, like Gronk has the ability, like legitimately, when they get on the goal line, the Bears have not allowed a rushing touchdown in the season, if I'm not mistaken. So therefore, you're going to see those Gronk plays in the Bears. I'm sorry, dude. Like Gronk has to be played in tournament lineups.
I mean, I don't think he needs like 100% exposure, but I think it's a really good call.
Yeah, I mean, he's like going to be like the third or fourth highest owned tight end at only 6,000. He doesn't like handicap you at every other position. Like if you find a couple cheap wide receiver plays, you could still play Thielen. You could still play like the big name running backs and you're going to be fine. Like I just feel like he's being overlooked in a slate that's full of tight ends.
I'll start us off at wide receiver because I got a play that I'm pretty excited about. And this is coming from a Jags fan, right? But I leave that at home when I'm doing fantasy analysis. DeAndre Hopkins, he's $6,900 on DraftKings. I could see him going 90 yards, 100 yards, and two scores, even against this Jacksonville defense, because Hopkins is that good.
I don't think that he can live up to value because he's basically 7,000. And like, so we've been talking about it, like 2.5K or 2.5 times a multiplier used to work, but now we're looking for closer to 3. So you need like 21 points out of him essentially. And I think that might be his absolute ceiling. And that's what we need him to hit. He played against them twice last year, and in those games, he did score a touchdown in one, but he saw like 25 targets, and like he didn't finish with more than 70 yards in either game, and I think he had the one touchdown.
Was Deshaun Watson there?
What's that?
Was Deshaun Watson passing the ball?
So this is going to surprise some people, but did you know that DeAndre Hopkins actually averaged more fantasy points per game with Tom Savage at quarterback? I swear, I'm not even kidding. Like it's something that nobody wanted to believe, but Will Fuller was the one who benefited a whole lot from Deshaun Watson.
I'm thinking back to last year when Antonio Brown went for 157 yards against them.
He had like 23 targets.
Yeah, he had 19 targets. He caught 10 passes. But what I'm saying is like people can go for these studs like DeAndre Hopkins. They can go for 100 yards against Jacksonville. And Hopkins could score a touchdown or two. If he does, you're going to be the only person owning him.
For whatever reason, we have his projected ownership at 35%. I think that's
that must
be
a mistake. I'm going to go override that as soon as we're done with this.
Well, I think I can understand why on DraftKings, just based on the value alone, right? Like it's actually not that crazy. You know, you're $2,000 almost less than Thielen. So I get it if that's kind of what the algorithm's picking up, but I can't touch him. I can't touch him this week, and I especially can't touch him with FanDuel.
Play Diggs as a contrarian, play to Thielen.
Just Diggs, not Diggs and Thielen?
I mean, you could do both if you want to, but if you want to be contrarian and say it's possible that Adam Thielen, for whatever reason, it's not because he flopped, but maybe he doesn't have as much upside as everyone thinks. I think he does, which is why I'm playing him in cash, but I think that Diggs is the contrarian play here. I think Diggs is like, Diggs will demolish Morris Claiborne in coverage. Demolish him.
Yeah, and he'll probably have like 25% of the ownership, which could be, you know, under 15%.
25% of the ownership of Thielen. I was confused by what you were saying at
first. Yeah, I was trying to confuse myself. So I was like, 15. Yeah.
All right, Jared, do you have a couple GPP plays you want to talk about at wide receiver?
We've covered a few of them, right? Just kind of talking about value. I think that Willie Snead is a really nice play. I've mentioned Curse as well and Amendola. I think you can probably get away with one of them in GPPs. And I think that there's actually an outside chance that at least one of them scores. The other one that I would only play in GPP, though, from a value wide receiver perspective is Chris Hogan. And I kind of started to mention him before, and then left it alone. This is one of those things where I feel like it's you're looking for opportunity and relative value with a bit of a narrative. And I'm not trying to say that, look, the guy's target volume is so high that, you know, he's undeniable, but he's always been the kind of guy that's flourished when the spotlight's not on him. And this is really the first time this year that he's had that kind of in his camp, right? We have everybody healthy now. We've got everybody and, you know, Josh Gordon healthy, right? From a receiving corps. And I say that because he wasn't really a part of the picture when we were drafting him or talking about him preseason. But he went 4 for 78 on 4 targets last week. He's going to get more open. And it's just a matter of time before he is looked for a deep ball, right? And I could see this game being an absolute shootout. For $3,800, he's just so cheap that if you're playing multi-entry, you know, give yourself an opportunity with at least 10 or 20% exposure, and it wouldn't shock me if this is the week that he goes for 15 to 20 points by catching, let's say, five balls for 100 and some odd yards and at least one touchdown, if I am correct in saying that, you know, at some point over the next couple of weeks, he's going to get connected with that, with Brady going deep.
I like that call, and I really hope that you're right, because I just picked him up in my big money league. I couldn't believe he was dropped, and I needed a wide receiver because of bye. So please be right, Jared.
Yeah, I hope so, but he's going to be your boom or bust guy, right? Like, don't touch him in cash. You know, I might be wrong this week, but then I'll look like a genius in week eight, right? Et cetera. So yeah, just keep that in mind. I'm not trying to talk about him in cash.
I've got two really cheap plays that I like for GPP. Damian Ratley had 8 targets, 6 receptions, 82 yards last week. They get the Bucks this week.
He might be better than Callaway, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he's a decent GPP play. And then Josh Reynolds, because we know Cooper Kupp is out already. They go up against San Francisco. The implied total in that game for the Rams is 31. And Reynolds is probably going to play 90% of the snaps.
I actually like attacking that game, but I like Brandon Cooks. Like, Brandon Cooks is one of my favorite tournament plays. He's too expensive for cash, but he's 7,100 going up against. So Akello Witherspoon has been bad. So they went to Jimmy Ward. Ward in his career has allowed 123 of 177 passing for 15 touchdowns. It's good for 120.5 quarterback rating over his career. He's not good. Richard Sherman plays sides, and even if Cooks got matched up with Sherman, he has the speed to burn him down the sideline. But with Cooper Kupp out, they're going to find ways to get Cooks even more involved. And every full game that he's played in, he's seen at least 8 targets. So I am digging, or prior to the Denver game, I should say, because Cooks didn't last week. And I think that had something to do with the weather, how it snowed there, that Cooks was coming off the concussion. He didn't get to practice the majority of the week. So I think the matchup against Jimmy Ward's phenomenal. Cooks is going to be a great option. And then, like, if you're looking for someone dirt cheap, Anthony Miller of the Bears. I know that he hasn't been as involved as people think, but he's going to go up against Jonathan Jones in the slot. So as a slot cornerback who plays like the majority of snaps, he's seen a target in his coverage every 5.1 snaps, which is the 8th most among slot cornerbacks. He's also allowed 238 yards on those targets, which is the 5th most. So knowing that Allen Robinson is going to be matched up with Stephon Gilmore, knowing that Taylor Gabriel is going to be matched up with Jason McCourty, who has just as much speed as he does, like, that's why we like Trey Burton, right? So why not look over the middle of the field to Anthony Miller in what could be a high-scoring game? So at 3,400, he's really cheap. And, I mean, he's been a presence in the red zone. So if he starts seeing more targets, we could see a touchdown and some more targets.
Jared, any other names you like for GPP at wide receiver?
No, I would just say that I also didn't mention Cooks outright. I was going to wait a little bit to talk about the stack. But I'm glad you mentioned him, Tags, because he's your prototypical guy, could go into the end zone a couple times. Robert Woods' recent performance probably gives him higher ownership, which is why I talked about him from a cash perspective. So I think that that's a really interesting one.
Yeah, I've got two more really quick. The first one is Chris Godwin against Cleveland. I think he's a good play most weeks, just because I think he's such a good receiver, and it's only a matter of time before Tampa involves him more. He did lead the team in targets and receptions last week. And then the other one is Albert Wilson. And I know what everyone's thinking, like, oh, he's not going to do it back-to-back weeks. That's why nobody's going to play him, but he really could do it back-to-back weeks. He's great after the catch. Dolphins are involving him. I could see it happening, guys.
What do you think? I mean, and I know that none of us talked about him or Marquise Goodwin, probably intentionally, but I think he's in the same kind of conversation as what you just said there for Wilson, right? Going deep twice, not a huge target volume guy. Had a great, you know, amount of, there was such a great following for Goodwin preseason, you know, that his ADP got what, like something stupid, like top 50, right? At some point. Sorry, I know I'm blending a little bit of season long here, but he's still super cheap on both sites, right? And if you think about the potential game script that could happen with the Rams potentially dominating that one, and then, you know, San Fran needs to throw the ball plenty. Considering he did go deep twice, you know, for 126 and 2 scores last week, is he worth considering on either of the sites? Like, I'm just really curious to get your guys' thoughts, because I feel like it could be the same sort of situation where Wilson popped, no one owns him. Goodwin popped, does anyone own him? Right? Like, you know, I'm just kind of curious to get your perspectives.
Yeah, I mentioned that on our sit show yesterday, actually, and I talked about Goodwin thinking that he's like a low-end wide receiver 3 in season long, so there's really no reason for me to think that he's not a solid play in DFS. Over the last 4 weeks, the Rams cornerbacks have allowed 10 wide receiver touchdowns. That's the most in the NFL. Marcus Peters looks lost. He got beat on the deep ball by Tyler Lockett. Lockett just ran right by him. So, I mean, Sam Shields has been benched for Troy Hill. Troy Hill got benched for Sam Shields, so they don't have much of a run game, and LA has been pretty good against the run. So I don't think Goodwin's a bad play at all in a game that could be like a one where we see CJ Beathard throw the ball, you know, 40, 50 times. So Goodwin battling back from injury, it's very possible that he's a better play than most people think.
Now over at running back, I just want to remind you all, last week's GPP winning lineups had Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon in them. I think that the same thing is going to be true this week because I think Gurley and Elliott are that good of plays. So I don't want to get too cute here. I mean, there are some quality plays. Tariq Cohen is one you guys already mentioned. Mark Ingram, again, even against Baltimore, I could see him having a big game just because New Orleans' run offense is so good. Jared, is there anyone else that you like?
Yeah, we briefly touched on Peyton Barber earlier. I think his volume, the game that I definitely want exposure to for, from a Tampa perspective, and his value at 3,800 on DK, all those reasons, really hard to ignore, especially if you're going to pay up at other positions. And then the other one that I would say no one's really mentioned yet that I would quickly bring up would be Kerryon Johnson. I think that there's something to like here for the price. DraftKings, he is, I want to say, 4,500. And
yeah, 4,500.
Yeah, and with double-digit points in four straight, he's got a bit of a role in the passing game, which I love from a DraftKings perspective. That's just simply too cheap for a team that's gonna score points in a good weather environment. So I just don't think that someone that especially coming off a bye that we should be ignoring.
Well, on top of that, by the way, Theo Riddick missed practice again today. So if Theo Riddick misses this game, Kerryon Johnson has more of a role in the passing game. Yeah, definitely love him. I would actually consider him in cash at 4,500 if Theo Riddick's out.
Tags, anyone else you want to mention here?
I don't know if I need to bring up the fact that Alvin Kamara should never be overlooked. There were games last year where Alvin Kamara was like lower owned because they played Carolina and then he still went off. Like, I would rather play him over Ingram just because, like, you have the recency bias with Ingram. So people are going to play him just because of that. Baltimore at home is a really, really tough defense to run on, but we know Kamara does things after the catch. We know he catches the ball quite a bit out of the backfield with the tough cornerback matchups that the wide receivers have. It's very possible that Alvin Kamara is kind of overlooked on this slate.
Kamara is a lot more expensive, but I agree. I think that he is a better bet to have a big game than Ingram. So that's a good call as well. McCoy, I already mentioned. I guess there's reason to be concerned about Buffalo's offense, but Derek Anderson is like light years better than Josh Allen, which really is not saying much, but
that's a scary sentence.
Yeah, it really is.
Very scary sentence.
As a Bills fan, I'm sure you are terrified.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it is, but
just not bringing it up so no one knew that you were a Bills fan?
That was probably a better strategy, although I figured because you and I have been talking for so many years that you might remember. So maybe I should have taken the chance that you did not recall it, but yeah.
I totally forgot. It caught me by surprise, and then I remembered, and I was like, oh man, poor Jared.
That's okay. Yeah, no, I don't think I'll be playing LeSean McCoy this week, but the only good thing going for him is that he is starting to get more volume now.
All right, guys, let's move on over to quarterback then. And there's a lot better GPP plays here. Tags, we'll let you start.
Baker. It's Baker week, man.
I'm thinking about using Baker Mayfield in cash the more I look at it because I keep talking about all his wide receivers, right? Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, Ratley, David Njoku. I'd like to use the Browns defense. And I'm just like, you know what? Maybe I should just use Baker Mayfield because I don't have enough money.
Run a stack with Baker Mayfield, Duke Johnson, David Njoku, and Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
Call it quits.
I like it, man. I mean, think about what Chicago did against Tampa. 6 touchdowns for Mitch Trubisky.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, that's the thing. It's like Baker's playing better than his stats say that he has. And this is a matchup where it's like, okay, like, let's do it. Because like Tampa doesn't allow much against the run. And Carlos Hyde has really struggled. Carlos Hyde has really struggled the last couple weeks. And they've been tougher matchups. I've been trying to tell people that. And this is another one where it's not a great matchup for him. So if they're going to live up to this like high over-under of 50 points, it's going to go through Mayfield. And the matchups are phenomenal.
Jared, who do you like?
I like Baker Mayfield a lot. And Tags, I'm glad you actually mentioned Duke Johnson in there. I know it was a bit of a throw-in. But 5 targets last week for 73 yards finally got him back on the map. Perfect guy to stack with, especially because I do expect Baker will have a decent following this week in terms of ownership. I'm not sure what does Fantasy Pros have him projected at
2%.
Right now. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little understated, honestly. I mean, with all the talk that I'm hearing, you know, from an industry perspective, I'm expecting him to be closer to, let's say, 7 or 8, if not closer to 10 on some of the larger fields. So I think that that's just worth calling out. That's still very low. Don't get me wrong, right? So it's not to try to indicate that everyone should leave them alone. Just wanted to kind of bring the listeners the goods. One other guy that I would say needs to get some attention is Joe Flacco. And I know I can't remember who mentioned it. I think one of you guys did earlier in the show, saying that he's probably not going to air the ball out as often as he has been lately. But let's just imagine he does. This is a pretty good situation to make that argument for, right? And he's done it all year, right? Is he number one or number two in, Andrew Luck's number one, but number two, I think, in average, pass attempts per game, which is, yeah. And he really hasn't had a huge touchdown game other than week one when he threw for three against, you guessed it, Buffalo. But considering the value that you have at receiver and, I do also think that Alex Collins is a little bit interesting, and with the fact that New Orleans, a high powered offense in their own right, is going to likely give them a run for their money. Flacco, let's say he does throw it 40 plus times at the price, 5,400 on DK in particular, like that could do some damage in a stack.
All right, guys, I've got my top GPP play here, and tags, get ready. Blake Bortles. Every week every it's week. Blake Bortles, right? And the reason why is because he has more 24-point fantasy games than Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston. I mean, every single year he puts up these big games, and it's not always in the weeks that we expect. Leonard Fournette's out. TJ Yeldon might be out. I know that Houston has a pretty good defense, but if Blake Bortles throws the ball 50 times, he could throw three interceptions and still be the top GPP play.
That might be your 2% owned guy. And honestly, like, I also kind of look for patterns. When was the last time that he had two bad weeks in a row?
Well, I mean, like, in terms of fantasy or in terms of being a bad quarterback? Because every single
bad football player. I thought this was a fantasy show. So no, we're talking fantasy. I'm only talking fantasy points. Like, if you look at sort of when he's gone single digits and then failed to get, like, you know, at least 15 points. Or at least like low, you know, he's like low double digits and then he doesn't bounce back with, you know, 25 or 30 sometimes. Like, this is the kind of thing where he might actually show up and he could easily be one of those guys that throws for 350 yards, two touchdowns, and then for whatever reason he runs one in, right? Because he seems to do that a lot more than
Yeah, I mean, if Jamal Charles is the running back, who's to say Blake Bortles doesn't run the ball nine times?
Who's to say he's not the best running back on that team? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Did you see the video of Jamal Charles? I don't know if this was faked. Jamal Charles threw a 40-yard pass and caught it. Did you guys see that?
I
don't think it could have been real. I tweeted it out just because it was funny. But I don't know. Maybe it was amazing too.
Yeah, I had no idea. I haven't seen that, but that would be something like obviously crazy.
Yeah. So this is a good segue to our stacks, our favorite stack of the week. I've got Jacksonville. Nobody's going to use them. So imagine, like, you know, 0.4% of lineups use a Jacksonville stack. Is there a better than 0.4% chance that Jacksonville stack hits? Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably 4 or 5%, and I'm all about it. Give me some exposure.
It's fair. That's a tournament stack for sure. But like, I would look to Cousins, Thielen, and Diggs as my, like, is the best stack I could think of. If you want to go contrarian, I would look at the Browns. Like I mentioned, and I was serious. I don't even know if you have to play Landry. He's just too expensive. But you could look at, like I said, Baker Mayfield, Duke Johnson, and David Njoku together.
I think there will probably be 150,000 lineups, and I'm not exaggerating, that use the Browns as a stack, though. You know what I mean? Like, they're more contrarian than Detroit, but
I mean, if we're projecting Baker Mayfield for 2% ownership, I can't imagine Duke Johnson's going to be more than like 0.5% owned.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess with Duke Johnson, that's a more contrarian stack. Jared, do you have a stack that you like?
Well, I think we haven't talked about a really safe one for cash, which would be the Rams. We talked about Goff early on. We've talked about Gurley a bunch. I think both of us, for different reason tags, both talked about Woods and Cooks. Like, you could easily find a way to get Goff, Gurley, one of those receivers in there, and then have plenty left to work with for a cash game lineup that you're not going to hate.
You would have to ignore Zeke and or Thielen, though, and that makes me nervous.
I think you'd have to ignore Zeke. You could do it with Thielen if you find the right value plays, and there are so many this week. I think it's very viable, but that's more of the safe stack, especially if you think about ways in cash to get exposure to both sides of the Rams if you want a high total exposure, which is obviously more chalky, but typically works out with, you know, let's say Goff and a receiver and Gurley, right? Getting both the passing and rushing exposure there, probably about 4 touchdowns between the two sides of it. Just on the contrarian side, for me, would be Flacco, Snead, and then one of, you know, Crabtree and Brown. And so I just want to make sure we don't lose sight of that. I think they're kind of the contrarian to the Browns, that because Baker's getting so much love, but you're convincing me a little bit on the Jacksonville side.
Yeah, baby.
I gotta be honest. Like, I do think that there's something to be said for, maybe it's just a 3-man stack with, like, you know, let's just assume Charles plays and you go with, I don't know, Keelan Cole or something. But at the very, you know, there is something to be said there. I have more confidence that the Flacco stack is going to net out with higher points. But I think if you're thinking about ways to win the GPP, yours probably has a higher ceiling.
Eat it, Tags. Woo! I'm just messing, man.
This is coming from a Bills fan. So, I mean, like, what can you really trust?
All right, guys. Lock of the week. Everyone knows mine's Adam Thielen. Is that yours as well, Jared?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out something else I could say to add value or at least not be in agreement with you. Or I was actually hoping I'd be the first one that would get to say it.
But, oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm just giving you a hard time. I mean, if it's not Gurley, it has to be Thielen.
I mean, I can change mine to Blake Bortles if you want me to.
Oh, boy.
Don't ever say Blake Bortles is a lock for anything.
He's a lock to be a bad football player.
Yes.
But the truth is, like, just when you kind of look at tiers, there's just nobody else as close to that plays at the wide receiver position this week in DFS that would come close to the top tier beyond Adam Thielen on the main slate. So I just don't see how you can say anything else. I mean, if you want to talk a little bit different and talk about someone else that, you know, on playing in week 7 that you'd want to have exposure to, maybe you're playing a showdown slate, et cetera, like Julio Jones is going to be great, right? I think this is a really great Julio Jones week against the Giants, but for main slate purposes, he's not really relevant. So I'm all in on Thielen. He's just that much better than every other receiver.
All right, Tags, who's your lock?
Yeah, Thielen is also my lock. We're all on the same page in this one. We come up with this stuff before the show, so mine was Thielen. We didn't discuss it at all, so I wish I could have said it with someone else. But basically, when we do this lock thing, it's like it's our idea, and like some people might be like, well, Thielen, of course he's a lock, but it's figuring out what players you want to pay up for. So we always want to say, all of us believe that Adam Thielen is going to return you at least 2.5x times value, if not more than that. And I think we're all in agreement that he is going to do more than that. So yeah, Adam Thielen is my lock. He needs to be in every single one of your lineups.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Jared, thank you for taking the time to come on.
Hey, always have a blast with you guys. Thanks for having me, and good luck to everybody in week 7.
It's our pleasure, Jared. And thanks to the sponsors of today's show, FanDuel.com. They've got a great app as well where you can play in these World Fantasy Football Championship contests, and PristineAuction.com. We're giving away a Devontae Adams signed Packers helmet through PristineAuction.com. You can enter that at FantasyPros.com/contest. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.